Hello, everyone. This is Uxbridge High School Principal Mike Rubin, and this is our Uxbridge High School Spartan Podcast. What you're about to tune into is a recording of our August 19th Parent Town Hall, where we discuss some of our reopening plans. Thanks for tuning in.
And we have contact. So thanks, everybody. I just want to lead off by saying thank you to a whole lot of folks. It's been a challenging summer for sure. We've been working a lot of hours and a lot of days to try and keep things as organized as possible. The purpose tonight really is to provide a little bit more clarity on perhaps the differences, the nuances between a hybrid model and a remote only model as families are getting ready to make some final decisions. The superintendent has sent out a survey that asks families to make their decision, which will be binding for the first 8 weeks of school, as far as remote versus hybrid. And we're going to talk a little bit tonight about what that's going to look like.
Mr. Rubin, before you continue regarding the survey, we've already had a couple of questions. That survey needs to be filled out for every child in the household.
Correct. Thanks, Jen. Thanks, Ms. Belleville. I appreciate it. Yes, if you have three students in your household, please fill it out three times. If you have three students in three schools, please fill it out three times. It helps us with making sure that we put students in like cohorts. In particular, we know we have a number of families that have kids in multiple buildings, and we're going to be doing our best to honor and support all of those requests. So I think that's probably a good place for us to start. We are right now working on the differences between our different cohorts, and the good fortune we have at the high school is really being able with older students to allow Taft and Whiten, whose younger students perhaps need a little bit more supervision, to go through what sort of needs they have, and we'll be following suit. That being said, we know that even high school students, there are going to be some trepidation and wondering, are they in school for those choosing hybrid Monday or Tuesday? Are they going to be part of the Thursday, Friday cohort? We'll be working based on the information that all of you give us to have the cohorts complete by the first week of September. The difference for us versus the other schools is that we're not choosing necessarily who the classroom teacher is. Schedules have been posted, and our goal is going to be to have students follow as much of that schedule as possible. There are some areas that we still need to create some guidance. We need some guidance, for example, in the musics. There's still some additional guidance that we need to go through, because right now the guidelines for things like music indoors are not very favorable for things like music. But we are working through that, and hope to have for some of those more particular areas, all of those solutions done by the middle of September. But again, the schedules will be the schedule. Some folks have already requested some changes, and counselors will be in over the next couple weeks to answer those. So in terms of the cohorts, for students who are electing to be, we'll start with the students who are electing to be remote only. They will be remote 5 days a week, and the teachers at the high school are going to have a couple of different options for providing classwork, both in terms of work that will be handled synchronously and work that will be handled asynchronously. So there will be opportunities for students to work hand in hand and side by side with their classmates who are in the building. There'll be opportunities for teachers to connect with them real time. And there'll also be some opportunities for students to work independently with some assignments that are going to be posted. It will be more robust than what you saw in the fall, in the spring. It will be more robust this fall. And it will be, everything is going to be graded, and attendance and participation in those assignments are going to count. We did get some really great feedback from from our students. We've been meeting regularly with a group of students, about 30 of them, on some tips actually for the teachers for ways to make face-to-face and online learning more more robust and more equitable. And we've been sharing that with our staff as well, as far as things that are better for face-to-face learning and things that are better for remote learning or not in-person learning. Again, the due date for those selections is tomorrow. There have been some requests for cohorts. We don't have an actual split right now for where our cohorts will land. But if there are some specifics, one thing I will say is that families will be kept together if that is what families need. There have been a couple of cases already where some families have actually said that they would prefer the siblings to be split up. And for two to attend on Monday and Tuesday and another sibling to attend on Thursday and Friday, we will work with that. Beyond the two cohorts that you're choosing, whether you're choosing hybrid or remote, there is also a high need cohort that's going to be in person or given the opportunity to be in person all week. And these are students who have some pretty significant learning disabilities, students who are English language learners, and some of our other students who had some real significant needs. There have been some requests already to me about you know, what will constitute that. We have some pretty strict state guidelines that we have to follow with respect to high need, but we will be revisiting some of our cohorting over those first few weeks to make sure that our students are getting the supports that they need. A couple of things that we will be working on in these first couple of weeks will be to make sure that remote and in-person learning opportunities are equitable and that the time that we spend with our students is done well, even if they're not necessarily exactly the same. We are trying to inform parents and students with feedback a little bit more timely, I think, than necessarily was happening in the past, and trying to keep people in the loop, particularly if you're remote only, as to what is happening. And we've also had conversations both with our staff, with our department leaders, and we've heard this from parents as well about making sure that independent work that gets assigned to be done doesn't necessarily mean piles and piles and piles of homework, because rigor does not necessarily mean doing a lot more. It just might mean doing things that's a little bit more complex. We will be scheduling orientations for our grade 8 students for early September. Some of it we are hoping to actually do in person, but for now we'll be sending out some instructions. Earlier today we did send out some instructions about, for example, the technology. Before I move on to sort of the details of the schedule, just speaking of technology, I have to own a mistake. I learned a long time ago that when you make a mistake, you own it. We were intending up until probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago to have the eighth graders getting iPads. If you're a parent of an eighth grader, you got an email today and probably saw the word Chromebook and said, what happened to the iPads? The pandemic has not been kind to iPad manufacturing and has not been kind to some of the importing of technology, specifically from the Far East. So we had to come up with a plan B. We came up with a plan B as quickly as we could. Fortunately, Mr. Missler, with his outstanding resourcefulness, was able to pull in Chromebooks, met with me about it a couple of weeks ago, and we said, like, look, well, at least the seventh graders that are coming up have some familiarity with that device. There is also some real great security and learning features for the Chromebook. And we're going to use this as an opportunity to see if the Chromebook is, in fact, in the long run, something perhaps better. And we'll make lemons out of lemonade. We'll make lemonade out of lemons. It's the best we could do. As I say, this is kind of like the epitome of a first world problem, that we're worried about which device we're going to give out to the kids. But I do owe you an apology, because if I was not clear in the past couple of weeks about why we were going to Chromebooks, it really was a fairly recent development over the last maybe 3 or 4 weeks. And I think in our last town hall, I did not mention that. So that being said, regardless of what device students are using in the building or at home, we are going to be, all of our teachers will be using Google Classroom. There will be some other platforms that some students will use that our teachers are pretty familiar with, things that allow us to do some virtual labs and some programming and things like that. So our hope is that we will be able to do some how-tos for students in those first few weeks to get everybody really fluent, really fast. As far as the schedule goes, we are going to post for families what our rotation looks like every single week, at least a couple of weeks ahead of time, so that people will be able to know, looking at a calendar, what day is in the schedule and what rotation is happening. Our schedule is going to work in that our students are going to be in, for the students who are in person, they're going to be in person for periods 1 through 4. So I'm going to stay with this kind of that standard A, B, C, D, E, F, G as our blocks for a second and try and explain this. It's really easy to see visually, but I'm going to try and explain it verbally as best I can. So on Monday, we have A, B, C, and D are in person. The students come in, each of those classes lasts about an hour. And then there's we're doing what's called a grab and go lunch. We're going to stagger dismissal, where the students who drive leave first, the students who are picked up by families leave second, the students who leave on buses will leave third. All of those dismissals will take place between about 11:45 and about 12:05. Students will be able to go to the cafeteria, get a lunch to go if that's something they want to do, and then they'll get home. In the afternoon, the other three classes, so again, assuming it's that first day one, A, B, C, D met in the morning, periods E, F, and G will meet remotely in the afternoon. Why we're not eating lunch in the school has been a question. The biggest issue is space. We can only fit with the current distancing guidelines, with our current furniture, and with some of the other requirements that the department has given us. We could only fit between 28 and 32 students in the cafeteria at any given moment. If we have 50% capacity in the building, that's 300 kids. That means we have 9 to 10 lunches every day. At 30 minutes of lunch, you could see we just spent half our day trying to feed the school. It's just not worthwhile. It's kind of a waste of time. There has been the question about, well, what happens if kids who are leaving are late getting back home to log into that class? Well, on the second day, so on this day two, the first three classes that meet in person are the classes that met remotely the previous day. So if there is something that a student may have missed in those first few minutes, the teacher will be able to recover it on the next day, and we will be flexible, and we will be nimble, and we will do the best we can. I will say that the schedule for a given week is going to repeat. So if Monday A, B, C, and D met, and on Tuesday E, F, G, and A met in person, on Thursday and Friday, when the other cohort comes in, it's going to be the same schedule rotation. The following week is when the schedule will change, and we will put out for all of you what each of those days looks like, what class is meeting when, and so on and so forth. There will probably be some individual questions about things like, well, what if I have this period? What if I'm taking a class through Quinsigamond Community College? What if I'm taking this class? What if I'm taking that class? Do I have to come if I'm late going back to that class? Am I responsible for the material? This is a work in progress for us. We are not the only school that is using this particular format. And the biggest reason we are doing it is to enable each of our teachers and each of our kids to have daily contact with 7 periods a day. The afternoon remote only classes are going to be a little bit shorter. And they're going to be done so very strategically and purposefully for that reason. One of the things that we, not to shift gears, but what we have not talked about is the Wednesday. So the Wednesday is a half day of learning. And we say it's a half day of learning because a half day of learning like synchronously. And the other half day is completely asynchronous for everybody. And everyone except the high need cohort is remote on Wednesdays. What we are going to be doing with Wednesday, and this is taking a page from Google, who uses something called the 80-20 philosophy. It was implemented last year with our grade 8 students with their civics project. Is Wednesday is essentially going to become a student-led learning day and an advisory day. So every student will be assigned to an advisor. They'll be working on an independent study project that is going to be geared towards a specific year. So for example, grade 8 will be working on their civics project every Wednesday. They did this last year. It was incredibly successful. We have a statutory requirement in terms of civics to embed that into grade 11. And we know of our seniors needing time to do things like college applications and resumes and essays and things like that. So, and we have time in those days that we will build into our guidance curriculum. So we are going to really have Wednesdays be part of the day focused on student passion projects, things that are meaningful to kids, advisory time, time for our counselors to check in, time for teachers to check in, scripted time for our teachers to work with kids on making sure that they have all their work caught up. Do they need to check in with office hours and so on and so forth? And then the other part of the day will be asynchronous learning as designed by their teachers, which is consistent with the rest of the district. So it is a little different for us, but we're using it as a really kind of a neat opportunity to build off of some of the things we were already doing just to formalize. And the students were in particular very excited about that, to be honest. Some of the other questions that have come up, then I'll probably pause and take take some time for some questions. A couple of things that have come up have been first, guidance about clubs and activities and sports. Sports were decided a few hours ago. The board of directors met this morning, and they just this morning released guidance on a four-season model. So I'm still in the process of really identifying what that means for Uxbridge. Fall sports are allowed to start on September 18th, but we need to come up with some very specific guidelines, and we need to actually present some guidelines to the local level, I believe for school committee approval, on participation guidelines, because students are not necessarily in school. So we do need to come up with some criteria for participation for athletics. We also need to come up with a lot of safety guidelines around sports. We do not know right now when the winter, the spring, or what they're calling the float season are actually going to start. What we've been given the green light for this fall have been the soccers, field hockey, golf, and cross country. We don't sponsor volleyball, so we don't have to worry about that right now. The winter season for us is winter cheer, winter track, and our co-ops, as well as basketball, co-ops in hockey and wrestling and basketball. And our spring season is the traditional spring sports. The float season, which is scheduled right now to happen sometime between February and March, would be football, fall cheerleading, and unified basketball. We do not have a guidance on set start dates for that. We also do not have set guidance yet on what is permitted for non-contact activities for a sport like football right now. So we ask you to be a little bit patient with us. Again, that guidance came out a few hours ago. Mr. Carboni and I will be working over the next couple of days to make sure that we have a plan for all of our sports. We had a plan going in, but now we have to just make some adjustments. And more importantly, we need to make sure that we're safe. There are individual sport guidelines. I know the soccer ones because I'm coaching youth soccer, and they're pretty intense. So we want to make sure that we put our coaches, our student athletes, and our parents in a position where we can enjoy and have as at least between the lines as close to a normal season as possible. As far as clubs and activities go, there have been some questions about whether they're going to be allowed to meet. The answer is going to be yes. The question is going to be when and where, and we're going to work that out with our advisors. There are some that are going to be very easy to have meat in the building. There are some that are a little bit more complicated because of the numbers. So we need to make sure that we are doing so responsibly. The other piece that a couple folks have brought up for us has been our procedures should somebody be ill, and what our responsibilities are as parents, as kids. And I'm going to be very, very blunt about it and just say that if a kid is feeling sick, they don't come to school. If a kid is feverish, they don't come to school. And the good news is, in the past, where this may have been considered time away, now our students can stay home and work remotely, and we can be in communication with them that way. If there happens to be a positive case, which with teenagers tends to be right now a bit more of a concern, especially with some of our students who are working and in contact in the so-called adult world, there have been some questions that have come up about what happens. We have procedures for identifying close contacts. That was just redefined for us a couple hours ago by the Department of Public Health. And so we'll be coming out with all of that guidance for students, for parents, and for our healthcare, Ms. Schiller, our nurse, and everybody in between, so that everyone's kind of on a consistent page. And if we do have to notify anybody because something's going on, we have a process for doing that. With that in mind, I know Mr. DiMeglio is here. He has just, I'll tell you, there are some people who are just very, very easy to work with. And this summer, I have not been one of them. And he has been very steady and very, very helpful and completely kind of my opposite at times. And one of his works of art, really, over the last few days has been really following through all of the different procedural facility needs that we have while taking care of things in the schedule and taking care of things in the student handbook that are going to look a little bit different. Some of the questions that have come up is from our staff, and I'm sharing this with parents. What if the kid refuses to wear a mask? Mr. DiMeglio, I know you've come up with a really, I think, clean process for working that through. Are you unmuted? I hope you are.
Yeah, I think I am, actually.
I figure you've done so much work on some of the student stuff that you'd be better served to share a little bit about what our line of thinking is.
Well, I think everybody has a certain level of anxiety about all of this, and rightly so. And I think kids have an awful lot of that as well. And you know, this is new to them. Wearing a mask constantly every single day, every single minute is going to be very difficult. And I think, you know, keeping that in mind, you know, you need to take that approach. So, you know, there's going to be a tier one intervention, tier two intervention. And obviously when we get into tier three, it's, you know, you're going to get kids that maybe totally refuse and they just don't understand the process. And a lot of that's going to involve, you know, parent input, you know, me talking to them and hopefully we can resolve. But, you know, eventually if we just can't work that out, then, you know, that student might be full remote. Hopefully that doesn't come to that. And really it's, I look at it as more of an educational process than anything, because it's new to them. It's new to us. And we need to understand that. And I don't think we can ever lose sight of that. So, like I said, a three-tier process to get to that point. And I think we just need to, you know, all know that it's a learning curve for everybody, and lots of communication home, you know, and we can work through this together.
Mr. DiMeglio, I think the other thing that you and I have really dealt with quite a bit over the last few years has just been the idea of students being prepared and using the technology appropriately. And certainly the steps that Mr. Missler and his team have put in for keeping an eye on things technologically, but we really want to have parents and students alike just keep an eye on some of the things that the older kids sometimes do with devices that, you know, could potentially cause some real challenges. We've all heard stories of Zoom bombs and people who are going into classes and putting some things up that aren't quite the things we would expect to see in class. You end up handling a lot of that. And unfortunately, it doesn't always end well.
No, you know, again, it's, you know, everybody makes mistakes, but you know, you have to be there to educate and to sort of retool a little bit, and you know, sometimes you have to be a little tough, and you know, there's going to be consequences. But basically, you know, my advice to parents right now, because kids are so remote and they're using so much technology, don't be afraid to look over their shoulder every now and then and check out what they're doing. You know, for two reasons. Number one, it gets you involved in some of the classwork that they're doing, and it's always fun and interesting. And kids love that, to be honest. They love for you to get involved in the things that they're doing. And the second reason is to, you know, keep them honest. It's okay to do that. You know, sometimes I peer over their shoulder every now and then and look to see what they're doing for those two reasons, you know, and it seems to work out. And you know, I'll be consistent on my end, that's for sure. I always try to be consistent, always try to communicate home to let you guys know what's going on. So my advice is just keep vigilant, watch what they're doing. Don't be afraid to get involved in what they're doing.
Mr. DiMeglio, one question that maybe you can answer is, there's some questions around specific masks where you were talking about masks. Are there certain requirements? People are asking about bandanas, surgical masks, just appropriateness of masks.
Well, honestly, you know, it's funny because even I'm in my son's school, I just got off a Zoom with them. They're actually, and no guidelines have come out as of yet. And correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Rubin, none that we know of in terms of the bandanas, but certainly the masks are, I would think, much better. And until we get different guidelines, you know, from people above us, right now, you know, the scarves across the, you know, the amounts are fine, and the masks are fine. So we don't have specifics right now, but obviously as soon as we find out, we'll communicate that out as quickly as we can.
The only guidance that we've been given so far is it has to be able to cover the nose and the mouth. Right. And, you know, there's been some research that has come out. I mean, I just bought a gaiter for coaching soccer because it was more breathable. And there's some research that suggests that's not as useful. And so, you know, I mostly wear cloth masks. Some people tend to wear the more surgical masks that are cheap and disposable. There are exceptions. There will be a couple of students that potentially might not wear a mask, but that's going to have to be medically documented and dealt with between the nurse and the family physician. Our expectation is going to be that everyone's wearing masks. We'll have some folks that may be more comfortable wearing the plastic shields. The good news is we Mr. DiMeglio and I make those. So they're not as successful in deterring the particles as a mask, though. So we are requiring masks. And again, there's a lot of latitude with what that's defined as. Some people are going to wear bandanas. Some people might wear gaiters or some of those other types of scarves, but as long as it's covering their nose and their mouth and there's nothing obscene on it, then it's school appropriate. We'll be accepting of it.
Right. And obviously we're going to get kids that push the limits. We know that, but we have to be consistent, and that's the key.
The only other thing that we will share from a procedural standpoint is we're going to be sharing out with parents a handful of procedures that some of them are for the kids and some of them are for parents. For example, parents might want to know how we're handling the sanitization of equipment in an art room or an engineering room, but that's more as an FYI, just so you know, we've thought of it. Something that is going to be a little bit more specific for parents are things like drop-offs or early dismissal from school. For example, Mr. Missler and I have been working on a program that, much like you get when you go to the doctor's office, you'll log in the morning, and instead of bringing in a note and having the student enter the office and hand over a note and then wait for a pass to come back, we're going to do dismissal notes electronically. You log into a system or you make the phone call to the office. We log it into the system. You'll get a text or a message about a half hour before the student's dismissal time. The student will get an alert on their on our side. They have a hall pass system that will electronically tell them that it's time for them to be dismissed. When you get here, you'll send us the text. You'll reply by hitting yes, or I think my dentist office is you type the number 5 and hit send. Mr. Missler and I will come up with something clever, and you'll wait outside. The kid will check out at the office, and off you go. So it'll be like a touchless dismissal. A student who forgets something, we get deliveries every once in a while. Student forgets their homework. You'll enter that vestibule by the main office. There'll be a window there to speak with our office to be able to say, hey, I'm dropping this off. There'll be a table there. You'll write down the student's name. The student will come down and go enter the vestibule to take it, but you're not ever, as a parent, coming into the, as far as the main office. You'll just communicate with somebody right through the like the bank teller's hole in the glass, and be on your way. Is it different? Yes. These are some of the changes that I think actually are positive coming out of this mess. And I think that in the end, it's going to streamline some things for us. There are a few things that I don't have answers for quite yet. First of all, some folks have asked in the past about the SAT. We are working, and we will be offering a school day SAT here in September. And it's actually on a Wednesday. So that works out really well, because on Wednesday, the whole everybody's remote already. So that works out really well for us. The other sites, unfortunately, and we're kind of working this out on our end, most places are canceling the Saturday administrations, because you cannot control at that point who is coming and going from your buildings. And so we're definitely going to offer the school day SAT. The weekend ones, we're not entirely sure about. We've been in touch about one of the school day ACT administrations. There aren't as many people who typically take that. And we have a couple of our counselors right now have a project for me. Namely, they're working with higher ed to help us work more closely with the seniors and help them make decisions based on what the trajectories are this year in higher ed. So for those of you who are parents of seniors out there, and even parents of juniors who may be wondering about kind of what the process is going to look like, we're already on that. We have not gotten guidance yet from the College Board on what the AP tests will look like. We have a feeling, at least based on what I've been told, that it's going to be not quite what it was last year, but not quite what it was before that either. It's going to be somewhere in the middle, because there's so much variability in how different schools are handling education right now. And the last thing that we do not have an answer yet is MCAS. At last look, there was some chatter about a moratorium for MCAS for a couple of years, which would affect everybody who's a current Uxbridge High School student in all of our grades. But we have not yet gotten that from the legislature. I will tell you that I've been in touch with some folks about it. I have my own opinions about it, but we won't make that about what tonight is. So we'll, if you have questions about MCAS that continue to come up, specifically because you're a parent of a senior who maybe is still waiting to pass an MCAS to graduate, please get in touch with us, because we'll lift those to the top of the priority list. We got about 10 or 15 minutes left, so I'm going to stop. I know there's some other things that I wanted to touch on, but I want to make sure I give time to questions, and then we can be on our merry way. Ms. Belleville, anything out there that we want to start with?
Sure. So there's a lot of questions just around the schedule, Mr. Rubin. Just to clarify, as far as that it's really kind of a half day in school for all students if we're coming 5 days a week, or if they're in hybrid, and then the afternoon is more remote, and some questions around that first period after lunch.
Could you do me a favor? Could you allow me to share my screen?
Absolutely, Mr. Rubin.
Because that will help.
I made you a co-host, so you can share your screen.
Great. So I am going to share my screen, and you should be able to see, this is what our daily rotation looks like. You see that on the left, there's those classes, and then there's the break, and then there's periods 5, 6, and 7. So if you were to look at, I'm going to go to this next slide. If you were to look at our schedule rotation, I'll take a second to populate here, I apologize. You would see that E block is that first class that meets remote. Some students we think are going to be a little bit late for it, but that's okay because the next day it's a face-to-face class that's a little bit longer. And so for the students who are in person on Monday, they're going to be in person again on Tuesday. They're the kids that are going to be potentially late for that class, if at all. And again, our average bus route is about 30 to 35 minutes. So it's a little bit of a hustle. We have also thought about having this only be two classes and make this gap a little bit longer. But the problem then is people don't see all of their teachers. So it's imperfect. It's one of those things that after the first couple of weeks, I think we want to really revisit to see if this gap of time to get home is enough. And if it's not, we will make adjustments. We can always push the start period of this class back another 10, 15 minutes and make these periods shorter. But that's essentially what each of the days look like. And you'll see every single one of the days, four classes meet in person and three classes meet remotely. And the three classes that meet remotely on the next day start in person. On a week-to-week basis, you'll see that on a week-to-week basis, you would see that it goes day one, day two, and then the following week goes day three, day four. So if you're a hybrid student, you're in person, the same schedules. Your remote is the same schedules. And then it just rotates through the whole week, the whole way through. It takes about 7 weeks to get through everything. It's, again, imperfect, but that's essentially what our schedule looks like, and we'll be sending that all out. I hope that helped visualize it better than what I was explaining verbally.
Thank you. There have been a lot of questions about, you talked about the arrival and dismissal system, and since every period will be having attendance, will students who are remote be able to access that system if they need to call out for a dentist appointment or things like that, as far as we're tracking attendance?
Yep, that will be exactly the same. So if a student is going to miss a class, or if they're going to be out, like let's say they're homesick and they can't log in, you would call out the same way. You would call the main office, you'd leave a message because you have an ill student. You could also send an email to the secretaries, either way. Both ways are sufficient. Where it's period by period, as opposed to, it's a bit more collegiate in that regard, in that, you might not be okay for the first block or the second block, but by the third block, you've gotten a little bit of rest and you're okay. That's where we're going to have to rely a lot on personal responsibility and having students and parents reaching out to me, to Mr. DiMeglio, to the teachers, to the secretaries to say, hey, look, I was out first period because I didn't feel well, but I was there for second and third period. Because it's like showing up late, but you're at home. So we need to be flexible on that.
Can you speak a little bit? There's a lot of questions about, because the students are moving from room to room, just as far as keeping 6 feet apart, what the hallways look like, what safety procedures are in place, and about cleaning spaces.
Yeah, sure. So high touch areas 3 times a day. We are leaving all the desks in the room. Because we are going to try and arrange seating so that students don't sit in the, so that more desks are used, really. More desks are used, but fewer desks are used on consecutive periods. So that allows us time to have things cleaned. Desk surfaces are not considered high touch and will be sanitized every single day. But if we do need to sanitize things additionally, we do have the ability to do so between periods. However, we're going to have hand sanitizer stations at all of the entrances. We have all of our bathrooms staying open, you know, for soap and water, which is actually preferred to sanitizer. In terms of passing in the hallways, our hallways are wide enough so that kids passing down either way, they are 6 feet apart. The hallways are wide enough. They are going to have to walk pretty much single file, which is a little bit awkward. And kids are social creatures. So we do know that, you know, we're not going to be necessarily yanking them apart. But the good news is close physical contact is defined as being within 6 feet for 15 minutes or more. So in passing from class to class, if two kids are walking next to each other, while not ideal and not something that we are condoning, it's not going to be something that's going to cause a significant health risk, because it takes about 3 minutes to traverse the building when everybody is here. Now, there are some classrooms, some stairways that are going to be one way only, and the hallways are not, and I will tell you exactly why. We actually walked the building doing a couple student schedules, Mr. DiMeglio and I, and we did a sophomore schedule, and he was going to go from room B219 to room B206. And for him to go down one-way hallways to get to the other side of the hall would have necessitated him going downstairs around the building, back upstairs to come back down the hall, where he could just go across the hall and go down the hall and go to the classroom, which is sort of like being at the end of an aisle at the food store. You don't go down the aisle that says one way and says do not enter, but you might have to cross in front of it to go down to the next aisle. And that's sort of the method that we're going to approach with the older students here. In terms of sanitizing between cohorts, Wednesday, we're going to be doing every single space in the building. And again, the high touch areas, doorknobs, we're going to tell teachers keep doors open, because that, again, doors don't have to be touched. But bathroom fixtures, all of that 3 times a day.
And Mike, we're also limiting how many kids go to the bathroom when, you know, and that kind of thing. You know, we have an e-hall pass system that allows us to sort of manage that better, so that we're not sending 30 kids to the bathroom all at once. So teachers are going to know how to do that.
And that was also part of the reason to have only the 4 classes in person on a given day, was the 4 person on the 4 classes on a given day means we really only have 3 passings in the building during the day. And besides that, we have entry and dismissal, which is going to be by door, depending on what bus or how you arrive to school.
There is some question around just when are individual students going to get their schedules, as well as transportation, about families, you know, being on the bus and what seating will look like on the bus.
Good question. So individual schedules and cohorts, we hope to have that done, if not the end of next week, then the middle of the week after that. So in that, like, September, like August 28th to like September 3rd, 4th, somewhere in there. I think that's consistent with the other buildings. Mr. Hyde, I know you are here right now. I think with transportation, one of the things we have to wait on are the number of students that we have that are actually have elected to have transportation and are not remote. So, Mr. Hyde, do you want to share some details about when people can expect details about specifics, bus routes and whatnot?
Yes, I'd be happy to, Principal Rubin. We are waiting for cohorts. I just can tell everybody that transportation will be provided this year. Vendetti Motors is our transportation provider. Once we get the cohorts, we'll establish routes. They may be a little more centralized than in the past, but at the end of the day, we're looking at no later than the 1st of September to have the routes published and parents notified.
Thank you. Thank you. So Mr. Rubin, I know that you were really trying to keep to that 45 minutes. We do have several other questions, but I do know that you plan to put out a frequently asked a question list. Is there anything else that you want to
ask before we... If there's anything that's really pressing that seems like a couple of folks have asked, I'm happy to answer them before we go. If they're really specific and they haven't been answered, folks, email me or copy me or email if it's about something you need for a guidance counselor or a specific class. And you, I'll be honest, I'm Mr. DiMeglio and I are in pretty much every day for the rest of the way. So if there are specific questions that we can answer, we will. And if there are some questions that are for the good of the order, I know that there are some questions that have been out there about things like the teachers and the teachers association. We're not, as administrators, if you've been in other meetings, we're not able to really talk too much about that. Things once they enter into open negotiations are in open negotiations, and so we're not able to talk about that. That would violate the ground rules of negotiation. So my apologies if anybody has asked that question before and has not had that answered. I know a couple people had emailed me that earlier today. I wish I had better answers for you than that, but I don't. I will say that we had a staff meeting today. It was optional, and almost 70 people were there. And we have 70 people on staff. So we will do our best to communicate with you anything that changes, any adjustments that we have to make, and anything that we need to know, or you may need to know, that'll help your transition back to school be ready to go for September 17th.
I was just about to ask, that was the final question there, Mr. Rubin, was September 17th is the kickoff day for students.
Yeah, we'll be here. I'm not sure who'll be here with me, but we will be here September 17th. And truly, everybody, thanks so much for taking time out of your days, out of your nights. Some of you, this is probably your third meeting of the day. And I wish you all well.
Thank you.
Have a great night, everybody.